We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Legacy Partners and Mastermind Seminars. My name is Elise, and I will be your coach and facilitator along with Alan Stein for today's session. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you or call toll-free 888-230-2300 or the U.S. base number at 630-393-9909. There will also be a special gift offering at the end of today's session, so you'll definitely want to stick around for that. All right, we'll dive right in. So, Alan, any thoughts on what you'd like to accomplish today?
Well, I'm hoping that some people from Tanglewood team are on the call, and I'd like to kind of discuss how we're preparing for October's event and how we're taking action on August's event.
Sure. So as of right now, you're the only one from Tanglewood on.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, we have myself, Jill, Linda, and Dr. Gregory Simpson, and Kevin just joined.
Great. Yeah. Well, let's Kevin's here, let's talk about what we're doing with putting the Tanglewood vision into a video. And that was one of my to-do items from the last event. So, Kevin, that was great that you kind of reminded me. You know, for some reason, I'm having a difficult time getting this together. Where I think that we're at is, I kind of opened up the setting of the vision to our entire team and then realized with the help of you and some others that maybe that was not such a great idea.
The
vision. Yeah,
I wonder why that is. Why do you think it was not a great idea?
Well, I think somebody pointed out that the team sort of felt that the vision that Nancy and I came up with was sterile, and they couldn't buy into it. So they wanted to try to make it their own. And on the surface of that kind of seemed like a good idea. Yeah, don't you want all the team members to buy into the vision?
Sure.
And own it and be part of them?
That seems right.
Yeah, seemed right to me, too. And then somebody came along and pointed out that, well, okay, so say that you go through that process and the team's got their vision and they believe in it. Well, how's that any different than, in the beginning, Nancy and I have a vision, and we brought the team members in, and they wanted to own it, and so then they would become like Alan and Nancy, so they have a vision, and then new people coming into the company, they're not going to own it, and they're not going to feel a part of it, and they might say it's kind of sterile. So what do? Every time you get a new person come into the company, you redo the vision? That doesn't make sense. So I realized that, it's up to us as leaders of the company, as the founders, as the visionaries, to kind of set the vision of the company. What is our vision of this company, as long as we're the leaders? And then, people need to buy into that, and some people will buy into it. And the people who don't buy into it and maybe would want to change it in the process, maybe they shouldn't be on the team. So, that's kind of my thinking now. So we've sort of gone back to square one, and we to the vision that Nancy and I put together, and where do we go from here?
Yeah. So that's a great question, actually. So is it possible that there's an even higher vision, maybe in another dimension or in the same dimension, maybe taking it from a 4 or a 5 to an 8 or a 9 in the same dimension that everyone can buy into? I don't know.
Tell me more about that. Sounds intriguing.
Is there a higher calling? Is there something that... is this vision just getting us awake, like you say? I really like the way you say it, is that, you know, most people are just asleep. And once they're introduced to the truth of an idea and they actually embrace that, they become awake. They may not like it, but in fact, they are awake. So maybe,
like it.
And maybe it's like for the first time, like, I don't know if you ever saw the film The Matrix. But
I did.
Did you ever see that film?
Yeah.
So one of the interesting parts of that, and I really love that film, because there's so many things that I think are true in life. One is that we're asleep thinking that we're living a reality we really aren't. And two, once we are awakened to the new reality, you know, one of the questions that Neo had asked was, you know, why can't I use my, you know, why can't I move? He says, because you've never used your muscles. You've never used them. You only thought you used them. So I think sometimes we become awake to the truth like Neo. We realize that we're just hooked up like a giant battery to this huge machine, and we have to learn how to move our legs and actually have fine twitching skills. So maybe the first vision awakens us to the truth. Once we see it, then it's starting to exercise that and say, why does it feel sterile, and how can we make it more alive? What is it we have to download into our minds and our hearts that will change us so that we can be functioning in the real world?
Wow. That's pretty profound, Kevin. I'm absorbing it, trying to, wondering.
Maybe it's important. Maybe it's first important for you, Alan and Nancy, you know, to find out some way. I don't know how you do that. I mean, we have some ideas. I think you've done some of those things to make sure that everybody's awake. Everybody has to be awake first and understand the reality. I mean, a spiritual dimension is pretty cool. A spiritual place it is completely different than an 18th century replicate edifice. It could be anything, but this is a very important thing in people's lives, in your business, and I love the vision. But in order to catch that vision, it's to be awake to the truth, I think, and then to start exercising what that truth means. And it can be very painful. It can be very hard. And I believe that once we start exercising those muscles, as it were, in our thinking and in our lives and our spirit, then we realize that we're awakened to the truth, and now there's something even more important. But I mean, a spiritual dimension, a spiritual place, you know, a place where somebody can come that is unique, and it's a haven, and it's really sanctuary. You know, in some ways, I think you build sanctuaries in the truest sense. It's sanctified, meaning literally it's set apart for a specific purpose. And it's a holy purpose. And it's something that draws people to, it's unordinary. It's different. It's a completely separate space.
Yeah, that's true.
So
not very many people, even on our team, recognize that.
Can I ask a quick question? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hi, Gregory here. I'm new to this group, so I think Alan, so I'm not familiar with the names yet just yet, but Alan, you're asking the question about your vision with your team. Is that correct?
Well, it's so my wife and I founded our company, Tanglewood Conservatories,
okay,
20 years ago, and we have a vision for what that company is.
Okay.
And it consists of four pieces. One, the first part is to help people to develop and understand and pursue their life vision and everything that they were put on this planet to achieve.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm.
And the second one is to make a positive impact in the lives of our customers and all of our team members. And the third is to build a profitable, growing company. And the fourth is to build the best conservatories and greenhouses and other products of anybody in the world. So there's four pieces of it in that order.
Okay. All right. That's great. So I was just wondering how big the vision was. Now I understand a little bit more about what you guys were talking about.
Yeah. Thoughts on that?
Well, I think the hardest thing to figure out is really what people's desires are. So as soon as you start building teams, you know, everybody wants to kind of, they have their own motivations and their own desires and their own interests, and they want to do things that are outside of the vision of whatever the company is or their organization is, you know, has laid as a foundation. And the question then becomes, how do you, which is what you're asking, basically, how do you tie everybody back to your vision? That's why you want to get back to it, and everybody needs to buy into that. But if the vision is large enough, people need to be asked some way, somehow, to see how they fit into that vision. And then move from there into expanding their own life vision. So I guess that's just a series of questions and figuring out who's coming in and why they're doing what, what's motivating them. If it's just money, then I think we'd have a problem. There must be something else that's driving this interest or desire to be a part of your vision. That's kind of where I end up.
Yeah, no, that's great, Greg. Do you have any experience in bringing a diverse group to buy into a larger vision?
Man, if I had that key, I would be a trillionaire, because all my own experience in working with different teams and diverse groups has always been this fundamental problem of getting everybody on board to think in kind of unison. Because once you get the team and the profit motive for industry or for companies has been the central driving factor for many companies. That is good or is bad, I don't know how to analyze that. But if everybody buys into, yeah, well, let's make money, then things can happen. But Google, for example, has shown us that giving people the wherewithal to build their own apps is something that motivates people to do other things. So some way, I think, in my experience, is to figure out ways to help people realize their vision in the organization's vision.
That's fabulous. I mean, really, Greg, I, you know, you're totally on the same page as, you know, what we're trying to accomplish. So I'm kind of looking for some practical ideas on how to push this forward. Kevin, do you think we ought to just jump in and go ahead and do this video now and use that as a tool to present sort of a higher level vision to people? And, you know, maybe maybe what's needed is a way to paint that picture a little bit more clearly for people to see.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
How do we go about doing that?
Well, we could kind of take that same idea that we just shared that's being recorded and then maybe show them some clips from The Matrix and show the analogies where Morpheus was talking to Neo and awakening him to the truth, and show how that's kind of what you're doing. And once we're alive to that truth, then how do we exercise those muscles in the real world, in the world you are all literally creating? You're literally, I don't know if it's so much of a vision, if it's you're creating a new world in which you all exist. Not, I mean, in reality, in emotional reality, in spirit and truth, and in physical. I mean, you know, yes, it's four walls and a ceiling and a floor and materials and, a, you know, orders, but it is and it isn't. It's taking that and living in both worlds, transcending those two, and saying, what are we doing? And what are we communicating? Not only in service, but in sales, in the construction, in the implementation, in how we communicate with the client, and make sure that the client understands what we're trying to do.
Right.
Making sure that they're part of the vision, because we don't want to construct something for them where it could be a burden. I mean, if you construct a beautiful place for them and they're not ready to be in a place of peace or quiet or a spiritual place, that can be kind of scary to people. It might be even counterproductive.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't know. So I'm wondering if, you know, it's awakening people to that truth and saying, you know, this isn't just an edifice. This is something that is set apart. And what do you want to use it for? What do you intend that space could be for you?
Right. And to me, you know, as important as building the space is the is building something on the inside of people, so that everybody on the team is building themselves in another dimension, really.
Right.
There's like this dimensional growth going on, because I don't believe you can't reach the ideal of building these spiritual spaces for people unless the team that's building them is building spiritual space on the inside of themselves, sort of.
Right. You know, just a thought occurred to me, but it would be interesting. I don't know what you do when you finalize a project and everything's done, but wouldn't it be cool if everybody in the whole team, including whoever's able to be on that job site creating that space, could kind of hold hands and circle around the people that are there, whose space that's going to be, and kind of just welcome them to a new place? I don't know. Maybe you already do that.
I love it. I love it, Kevin. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed all of that, guys. My phone cut out for a minute. Sorry.
Yeah. Kevin, I'm so overjoyed to see what you've come to in the last few months, maybe 6 months.
Mm.
You've really... you're an inspiration. You're a beacon of light. I love it.
Thanks. You are to me, too. I really appreciate you and Nancy. And
yeah. Yeah, so now all we have to do is figure out how to make money doing all this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I think I have some ideas on that. So
okay.
I think that if we were to produce this video and it were to do what, you know, you and I and I'm sure Greg has in mind, then and we were to send that out to people, I'm sure that people would pay a huge amount of money to be involved with something like that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Isn't it interesting? And you know, I don't know. I could be wrong on this, but it's probably for the same reason that somebody looks at a big canvas with a lot of oil paint on it and will stroke a check for $1 million or more for that simple canvas with those oil colors painted on there.
Right.
Because it's not just, you know, the materials themselves are negligible, but it's what it creates. And you think, how could somebody pay $1 million for that painting? And somebody says, that was a bargain. That was a steal because of what it creates in them.
So there are some people that see that. They've either been trained or they have something inside themselves to look at a work of art and see what, you know, why it's a work of art. And other people write a check for $1 million just because everybody says that it's a work of art and they want to own a work of art.
That's really good. I like that.
And oftentimes, those are the people who have more money to spend.
Right?
So, Kevin, okay, so walk me through. So what's step one in this, getting this thing into reality?
Step one is probably playing this recording back and then having having people, everybody watch The Matrix first. The assignment is to watch the film The Matrix. And then the second step is to listen to this audio and saying, how do you see the two can come together, and how is that important to the vision that we have here? How can we be awake to the truth, and how can we exercise our muscles? Because if you look at the film, it's really interesting, because if Neo needed to learn something, all they did was take a little software program and download it right into his spine and into his brain, and he knew how to do it. And I think we can do the same thing.
Wow. So I'm wondering if people will get the connection. So I can stand up there and I can say, do you guys get the connection between what you've seen watching the Matrix film and go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, I think that we need to roll it back to because we're the legacy of Tanglewood. I think it needs to start with, why did we even start this business in the first place?
Wow.
To give some history. And we actually have, we sent it out to the Integrity Leadership Group. We sent out.
I'm going to send it to Kevin, too.
We're going to send it to you, Kevin.
Okay.
It's an article that was written probably about, maybe 10 years ago. And it was, what was it called, Alan? It was Love It.
It's a Beautiful Life.
It's a Beautiful Life. It's called It's a Beautiful Life. And it's about Alan and me and kind of paints the love story of how we started the business. And so we sent it out to the group, and one of them said, this has heart, you know, and this is great. And there, it has to be, you know, it kind of starts the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Please send it. I agree with that, Nancy. Yes, it has to be the vision cast is from the history of why we exist, why we're even trying to do this in the first place. That's a great thing. I think everybody should be on board with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. That's your first step, I think. I could be wrong, but I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's why might be one of the reasons we're struggling so much to get people on board is because they don't know the history. They don't know the history.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I just even looking on your website and all the visions that you cast from all the beautiful, you know, conservatories and buildings worldwide. The stories behind those are actually part of your story. You're, in fact, in some ways, what I got was that you're continuing that legacy. Things that were built in the 19th century are really being now transformed into another dimension, into another place in the 21st century. So bridging those two, I see that is continuing that legacy. So maybe part of that is, you know, why did those amazing architects in that time put those together? What were they trying to do? I don't know.
Yeah, that's good, Kevin. I like that. Go ahead.
And then who inspired them? Why would they even do it? It's, you know, there's an essential truth to why buildings are, you know, places that are special.
So it sounds like I've got to take a step back, and I've got to. I just sent you the piece that Nancy was talking about.
Okay.
But it does. It's the beginning of Tanglewood and how our, you know, we came to start the company. But what it doesn't talk about is what's become since then and how this has turned into this spiritual search, this search for spiritual reality and a search for spiritual growth for everybody involved in the whole endeavor. So I have to go back and do something that connects those dots and brings it up to date. So that
bridge.
We got to bridge that. And then people, I think, can see.